We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I'm so happy that each and every one of you has joined us from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. Today is my wonderful returning guest, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. Dr. LaGuardia, how are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you, Leah?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for asking. So Dr. LaGuardia has spent over three decades researching alternative ways of treating and preventing diseases of all types. He has been in private practice in Connecticut for more than 30 years. During that time, he has learned what alternative and natural methods work and which are snake oil. He has read hundreds of books and thousands of research articles on alternative ways of treating various diseases and has a huge personal library of many of these out of print books. I wonder why they're out of print. He is very well known in the medical underground of pioneering integrative medical practitioners. Integrative medicine is the highly effective combination of traditional and alternative medicine. He has authored The Doomsday Book of Medicine, widely considered to be the best book on medical prepping. He has also written The Bible of Alternative Medicine and lives on an organic farm in Connecticut with his lovely wife, Lynn. There are two dogs and four horses. When not practicing medicine or writing, he spends most of his time in his orchards or in his geocentric dome greenhouse, experimenting with growing and propagating edible fruits of all kinds. Thank you, Dr. LaGuardia, for coming on this today's episode and sharing your wisdom. I know you have another book in there that we didn't mention.
Yeah, Infected, Secrets from the Medical Underground.
Infected, Secrets of the Medical Underground. And you also have another book on the horizon as well.
Yeah. I'm writing a series of books with Secrets of the Medical Underground series. I'm writing one now on long-haul COVID, but I'm also on Substack under Medical Underground.
Right. So Medical Underground Substack. Make sure you look for Dr. LaGuardia.
Substack.com.
Substack.com. Beautiful. So make sure you look for Dr. LaGuardia's stuff. Now, if you've missed the past episodes, you can catch those all on masteryourlife.ca on our YouTube channel as well. Although I would say probably Rumble more likely. So just look for Master Your Life on Rumble, because as many of you know, I got invited to be off of YouTube in early 2020 because of talking about some things that people weren't very happy about. So anything that with Dr. LaGuardia, we sometimes safely put on Rumble. So so you can join us there. But you can
I'm proud of that, by the way.
That's right. We're all proud of that. So you can join us on the website, though, masteryourlife.ca, and catch all of the prior episodes. And I think we've done about 8 interviews now with Dr. LaGuardia. He's a trusted friend. He's a great advisor here. He's like listening to your favorite uncle and being able to ask him any questions. So today we're going to focus in on nutrition, because there's been people asking questions about, overcoming lots of physical ailments. You know, I see the list now, Dr. LaGuardia, about as long as my arm, of the things that people are actually suffering from, diseases that people are suffering from. And I can remember having Dr. David Katz on many times also. And he said that almost all disease is caused by lifestyle issues. 99.9% of diseases can be cured through lifestyle. And that's surprising to me, because you see the number of people who are ill. We must really be struggling with, you know, some really basic components of our lifestyle. But what I think anyway, is that a lot of how we feel and how we look is the things that we put into our mouth. So I'd be really happy to have your expertise on, you know, what are some of the basics and what are some of the stumbling blocks? What do you see as the big things that we need to could focus on that would be of the most benefit? So thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, one of the major problems is the depletion of minerals and trace elements in the soils. We've been doing this industrial farming since after World War II, when the petrochemical industry decided that they couldn't make weapons anymore. They'll decide to turn to farming. And they started using NPK fertilizer, which is just nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but doesn't provide all the minerals and trace elements, especially things like iodine in the soils. So everyone's deficient in most of these things, and no one ever tests for them and even knows about it. I find in my practice, it's ubiquitous. Almost every person I test is low on these, unless they have an amazing diet, which very few do. And there's consequences to that. There, the general IQ of the population is dropping worldwide.
Right. So the IQ of the population is dropping.
Yes, the IQ is dropping. The fertility is plummeting. I think sperm counts are down 50% in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable. And there's various reasons for that. I mean, I think iodine is one of the main reasons. And also the body temperatures are cooling off. 98.6 is no longer the body temperature of humans. It's like 97.8. So it's dropped like 0.8 of a point in 100 years. And that's a huge drop. And everyone's scratching their heads. But I mean, to me, you know, the metabolism is controlled by the thyroid, which is dependent on iodine. And one of the problems is all of the bromine and bromides in the environment. Because if you go back to that very boring periodic table that we all suffered through in high school chemistry. Bromine and iodine are right next to each other, and they're halogens, and both of them. So what happens is that they can be somewhat interchangeable in the body. However, the bromine is ineffective. And so if you have a lot of bromine in your diet or don't have a lot of iodine, which hardly anyone does, you wind up with bromine in the form of the thyroid hormone. So thyroid hormone is T4. The 4 means the number of iodines attached to the basic molecule, the protein. And that's inactive. It has to go out to the body. One of those have to be cleaved off to make T3, which is active. That's dependent on selenium, an enzyme that does that. And there's selenium lacking in the soils as well. So not only do we not have the iodine to produce properly functioning thyroids, we don't have the selenium to convert it to active form, even if we did have the iodine. So in my patients, I always make them take iodine in the form of kelp. I use organic iodines like that because they're pretty good. They're safe. And they also contain all the essential amino acids, which I'll get into in a few minutes. But, you know, one of the problems with iodine deficiency is that it's totally dependent on brain development. It's totally dependent on iodine during fetal development. And so if you have a lack of iodine, a really bad lack of it, you wind up with a what's called a cretin, someone severely retarded, small head, you know, underdeveloped, and they die rather quickly. But what they haven't studied so much is the lack of iodine, not cretinism, not a complete problem, but just low levels of it. We do know that there was a guy named Jorge Flechas, American doctor. I believe he's in Virginia. He did great work on iodine. And in his practice and stuff, and studied it for years. And he started supplementing iodine in pregnant women, which, you know, the pediatricians and the obstetricians never do. You know, they're totally against it. And what he found was a 20-point spike in their IQ.
Holy Toledo, because that can change your life, a 20-point spike
exactly.
In your IQ.
And he continued giving iodine, just small doses, to children as they developed over the years. You could do it after birth also, and it'll help. But especially during the development, it helps. Why would the government not be screaming this from every building? Why would they not want us to be intelligent? Big question. There's a 3-hour episode we could do.
That's exactly right. So this is interesting, because what's the side effects of iodine? Like, what would be the downside if somebody said, you know what, I'm just going to experiment on myself? What if they can't get kelp, though, Dr. LaGuardia?
There's plenty of forms. Well, we wisely iodized salt 100 years ago because of goiter. You know, there's so many people with goiter, means an enlarged thyroid from lack of iodine. And it was especially ubiquitous throughout the Midwest, because the further you get from the coast, the sea has a lot of iodine. The further you get inland, the less iodine there is. And that was called the goiter belt until they started supplementing that. And they wisely did that 100 years ago. But the problem is everyone's on a low salt diet. And
right.
You really can't eat a lot of iodized salt to get it. And it's a halogen. So if your salt's laying around a while, it evaporates off the iodine. And so the best, there's various forms of iodine. You could just take potassium iodide, which is great, cheap, and very effective. Some people use nascent iodine, which is pure iodine in drops. That's really effective. That's a little more pricey. I like the kelp myself because, like I said, you get the 20 essential, I mean, 9 essential amino acids in it. So it that's helpful as well. And I'll explain why later. But so you can easily supplement iodine in various forms. You can use betadine. And you can, inhale that and swish it around your mouth or use it in your nose. I use it a lot to disinfect things when people have COVID and stuff. You know, you can really drop the viral burden because it's a respiratory tract infection by disinfecting the nose and oral and your mouth with either a peroxide or using a betadine, diluted mix of betadine and water. Just a few drops in a glass of water is enough to do it. And so you could ingest it that way as well. You can absorb it right through your skin if you paint it on yourself. And you'll see how deficient you are because you paint it on and you have good iodine. It'll take a while to soak in. Mm-hmm. If you don't, it'll disappear like that as your body needs it so bad. Right. But that's just one of them. Then you have, all the essential minerals and trace elements that you need. I use a product on my plants called azomite. It's from the Midwest as well. It's from ancient plant seabeds. And they mine it. And it's just a white powder. But it stands for minerals from A to Z and trace elements. So the azomite's great stuff. And I use that in my garden all the time. Because health begins in the soil. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to grow your own food, you have to do it organically. And you have to supplement the soil. You just have to assume your soil's not good. I'm in New England. The soils here are rocky. They're terrible. And so I supplement it with kelp, which has a lot of iodine and a lot of other nutrients in it. And I add to it, worm castings. And that's fabulous. I call it my magic mix. And I use that up and I have a lot of horse compost because I have a horse farm. So I use the three of those together and I work that into the soil and plants love it. And so consequently, the plants will take up those minerals and trace elements and they'll be stronger and healthier. I never use insecticides. I never use any of that pesticides. I don't need it. It's there. The plants do great without it. So, I'm completely organic. It's a strong plant, just like a strong human fights off disease. Is your immune system good if you provide it what it needs? But everyone's depleted in stuff like the essential amino acids, the essential fatty acids that you need in your diet. If you notice, there's no essential carbs. You don't need carbs. That's right. You just don't need carbs. Your body can make all the carbs they want from protein and fat. And so you don't need it. And so what they mean by essential amino acids are amino acids that you have to get in your diet, that you can't get, your body can't make. There's 20 amino acids, 9 of them you need from diet. The other ones your body can make from combinations of other amino acids. And amino acids.
Let's just stop for one second because it's flashing through my mind a little bit that it's like the markings on packaging on boxes of like cereal and that kind of stuff where they say, oh, this has so many daily servings or this so much of your daily servings of fill in the blank here.
Right.
Are cereals a good source of that? Because I know lots of moms who have little kids or have children, school-aged children, even lots of adults rely on kind of these kind of boxed cereals often.
Yeah, they're not really that great for nutritional stuff. I mean, maybe granola is probably the best one of them because of nuts and seeds and other things in it. But cereals by themselves are not great sources. Now, that gets to also a big factor, the milk involved. Milk is key. I just wrote an article on my Substack page about it. Milk can be horrible or great for you. Turns out there's two kinds of milk, A1 and A2. And the type in a type of milk depends on the cow that makes it. Most of the cows in the United States make 60%, they make a mix of it, 60% A2, 40% A1. But some have a lot of A1 and very little A2. And A1 is bad for you. It's toxic because what happens is beta casein is the main protein in milk. That whey proteins are less common. 80% of them are beta casein. And beta casein comes in those two types, A1 and A2. The A1 type has an amino acid deficiency and oil correction in it for proline instead of lysine. And that one cannot be metabolized in the gut. and it winds up with a beta casomorphin 7, it's called, that is really toxic metabolite. That gets affects the body. It damages the gut lining. It causes atherosclerosis. It causes heart disease, and it leads to diabetes in milk. And so that's why I try to tell patients to use A2 milk if they can get it. Pure A2 is the best. Now, various animals make pure A2, you know, where you're going to get yaks, camels, buffalo. But, you know, how often do you get yak or camel milk? But goat milk actually is A2. So that's good. That's really good for you. But you can buy A2 in the stores now. They have it. They have powdered A2 if you want it for infant formula. But I would certainly give infants A2 and not any A1, because why take the chance? Why give them something that's potentially toxic? You know, so if you're going to make a cereal, try to make it with A2.
Right. And so is there any difference between Holstein and Jersey cattle?
Yeah, there's a difference between all the cattles, mm-hmm. Depending on the mix. And there's difference from country to country on the various breeds. It's right. Different.
So people need to do their research about what is the A1 or A2 producing cow and what's in your region. Like, what does your dairy distribute? I remember, like, growing up on a farm that we got our raw milk from our neighbor. And so that was before it was illegal.
It was illegal here too. In most states, it's legal now. In some, it's legal in Connecticut.
Right.
And raw milk is great for you because it contains all the enzymes and stuff that you need and stuff. You know, but once again, raw A2 would be the best. You know, but unprocessed. What people also don't realize is I use whole milk. I never use skim milk or 1%. People think that 1% milk is 99% fat free, and it's not. Whole milk is only 4%. And so fat. And so 1% is 75% fat free, 2% is 50.
Right. So let's talk about why the fat matters. Like, you know, so what's the difference if you're drinking skim milk versus a 4%?
Well, you need fat. Fat's been demonized. Mm-hmm. You know, fat is great for you. You know, and now we know that saturated fatty acids are good for you, not bad like they told us for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why. Is the essential fatty acids you need as well. And those come primarily, the best forms of a protein and best form of fats come from animal products. And so you can't get, because you get EPA and DHA from especially marine fats, cold water fish, mackerel, salmon, things like that. The skins of them are fabulous for you. Pull the fish off, great fats. You know, you can get them from some cereal and vegetables. You can get it from olive oil and avocados and different things that are, you know, certainly good for you as well. But that forms ALA, and that has to be converted to DHA or EPA to be good for you. So the best forms are the animal products giving you the best forms. Same as with essential amino acids. The best proteins are animal proteins, you know, because they contain a lot more of the essential amino acids than the plant-based proteins. Like, you can eat peas and various proteins that have a lot of protein, but you have to eat a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's talk a little bit about like your comment on kind of the low fat thing and maybe harm that's been done to people's bodies, and then how, if you've seen anyone that successfully sort of transitioned out of that low fat into a more like healthier, regular fat intake diet, what the difference is that they would experience in kind of their health. Is there, because you've mentioned increased IQ with these babies and with people that, you know, drinks, you know, are doing certain things, taking iodine.
Yep.
What happens when people actually change their...
Well, one of the things I noticed in my practice over the years was a lot of dermatitis, a lot of eczema, a lot of skin conditions. And they're almost entirely a lack of two things, a lack of essential fatty acids and zinc. And so I supplement both of those, and people do very well. It heals, gets rid of their dry, flaky skin, gets rid of their psoriasis and their eczema, you know, and it helps it immensely. It also helps memory. It helps brain stuff. The brain is all fatty acids, a ton of it, you know, in there. And so that kind of stuff is really good for you. You know, it takes a while. It all depends on where the starting point you're at.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
You know, how badly you're depleted.
Yeah, no, you know, because I'm 55, I definitely have seen, and I did the ketogenic diet at the age of 40 to 45 without a cheat day. So, and a pure ketogenic diet. So no alcohol, and I didn't eat chocolate bombs. So I didn't do any. Right. I didn't do that. So
how'd you know about me eating chocolate bombs?
Right. Oh,
I'm busted.
I did it. I'm doing it now, though. No, I'm making up for it. But I also went through the low fat fad with, you know, my aunties and my mom. And, you know, so I saw what happened with people is they actually packed on weight, you know, the Diet Coke thing, people just packed, like they're, you know, drinking more of the, like just drinking more pop in general. Right. And so even though it's quote unquote calorie free, it doesn't not affect our metabolism or our body, you know? So all of these things sort of can compound to create these multiple health issues, you know? So you've mentioned some of the visible ones, which is the skin problems. But what I saw is lots of people who couldn't normalize their weight. And so struggle now because they did low fat for such a long time that right. they can't actually even eat a normal meal without there being some kind of digestive problems and
right.
Weight gain,
diarrhea from it and stuff.
Yeah. Diarrhea, yeah, all of that stuff. So it's right. Yes.
And they screw their children with that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, no fat for you, you know, little Johnny, you know, you need it to develop. You need it, you know, for your health overall. Yes. So those consequences are horrible. And the low fat, look at statistically what happened. We went on a low fat, low salt craze for decades, mm-hmm. and we just became more and more obese.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was very, very fortunate to have my dad who had Huntington's disease, who needed to eat between 8,000 and 12,000 calories a day because of his mm-hmm. movement disorder. Mm-hmm. Because if he hadn't eaten that much, then he would have faded away into right. nothing because he just moved all the time. So my mom cooked all the time. She's a little half French, right? So she cooked all the time. Yeah, cream and heavy cream and butter. We never, ever used margarine.
Great stuff. Yeah.
You know, eggs all the time, you know, so he was well fed, but also it's what I noticed in that is that she was able to maintain a normal weight also, even though she was eating alongside of him, obviously not the same volume, but mm-hmm. just going, oh, like you're eating that really yummy, tasty, creamy stuff.
Right,
and
right,
I'm sitting
right.
over here eating my skim milk on some right, kind of egg white. Right, it's right, like, what right. the heck is this over here?
Right. And you're exactly right. Well, that's been disproven.
Yes.
It's great for you. Whole milk is great for you. Fats are good for you. You know, all these societies always used it. If you look back in time, study all societies. They ate fermented foods. Mm-hmm. They ate from nose to tail. They ate the entire animal. Gives you all kinds of collagen and great proteins that you need and minerals and all the things you need, bone marrow, to eat and all this great stuff. And what do we do? Skinless chicken.
And throw it out. Right? Yeah, skinless chicken. That's right. Throw out the yolk of the egg. Like
right. Right. I mean, the yolk's the best part. I rather eat the yolk. Drug companies cater to my office breakfast and lunch. I only eat lunch, but I eat breakfast. I'll get eggs. I'll just eat the yolks. Yolks are the best part. Yeah. You know, and so I'm in a rush in the morning. I'll just have some yolks with half a bagel or something. But it's great for you, that stuff. And
is there some reason why you don't eat the whites? Just out of curiosity.
I just don't like them that much. I know it's great protein. I'm not that hungry in the morning. I just eat a little bit. And I rather get the essential fats in there if I can.
Right.
And it keeps you full longer.
Mm. Oh, also, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Eat protein. You'll be eating all day.
Because one of the things with the fat that I learned along the way was just that it shuts off the hunger receptor in your brain.
Mm. Big time.
So it's not that you feel full, like your stomach feels full, but your brain is actually soothed.
Right.
And it shuts that off. So that's if you don't eat any fat, you're always going, oh my gosh, where's the next meal? Where's my
right,
next meal?
Right, right, right. You're constantly eating. To me, if you're just eating protein, it's really hard to, mm-hmm. to not be hungry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So we've talked a bit about iodine, supplementing with iodine. We've talked a bit about essential fatty acids. We've talked a bit about essential minerals and why they are missing in our soil and missing in our food supply. What about people who are struggling with exhaustion and Can you make any nutritional observations about that?
Yeah, that's a huge problem. Unfortunately, the studies have shown 80% of people that come in with fatigue into a primary care office as my own, like my own, are suffering from depression problems. Mm. Depression is the main source of fatigue. And I'm not saying it's the only source, but nutritionally is problems with B vitamins and processing them. There's a thing called, do you know what MTHFR mutations are?
I do, but yeah. Explain for the audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. MTHFR mutations. Once again, I wrote a paper on it. Same thing as the milk on my Substack page at Medical Underground. But MTHFR mutations are very common. Probably 40 to 45% of the American population has it. And what it means is it's a mutation that involves the inability to methylate B vitamins. B vitamins, to become active, have to be methylated. You have to add a methyl group to it. Chemistry stuff. But that's what makes them active. When they're inactive like that, the metabolites that are produced halfway are very harmful. Things like homocysteine is produced by that. Homocysteine damages the blood vessels big time. And that leads to heart disease and all kinds of problems. But it also leads to brain fog and fatigue, because B vitamins are essential for energy development. The mitochondria need it for energy. And so without essential B vitamins, it's a problem. So in my practice, I check MTHFR mutations daily. I must do 10 a day on just checking people. And then I make sure they have their siblings and their children checked if they're positive. And it's easily corrected by taking methylated B complex.
Now, is that water soluble or fat soluble?
Water soluble. It's water soluble. Yeah. All vitamins are fat soluble except for B and C. A, D, E, and K are water soluble. All the rest are fat soluble. And that's a good point, because if you're taking any of them, especially vitamin D, for example, which I have almost everyone on, and probably everyone in Canada needs it, because almost everyone in the United States does as well.
At least in the wintertime, unless you're outside and making a conscious effort to get outside and get the first sunlight, at sunrise is, knock out any of the harmful, my understanding anyway, is the harmful UHF, stuff that we need to be worried about in terms of protecting ourselves from the sun. But so making sure that you're out, and 10 minutes is lots without a hat on. Like, you don't need to spend the whole day.
No sunblock.
No sunblock. Yeah. Right. No sunblock, no hat, no sunblock, and as much of your skin exposed as is possible.
Yeah. That's the irony of my practice. My very fair skinned white patients and my dark skinned patients of color both have the same problem, vitamin D deficiencies. The dark skinned ones, because they developed in Africa where they had sunlight all the time. And so they needed melanin in their skin to protect them. Well, once they're here in a temperate environment, and like most people, they're not going outside, hanging out outside all day, their skin blocks it. So it's almost universal among them. And the white patients, because they go out lathered in sunblock.
Right.
And, and kids don't spend time outside like we did. I stayed outside till it was dark. They had to come in. We came in under duress.
So we make a point of this, though, and I think it's important to... it is important to kind of parcel this out a little bit about the differences between then and now, because you're fairly healthy. You've had a lot. You have really good energy. You've been doing this for almost 40 years as a doctor. Right. And I grew up on a farm. Like, I'm 55. I look at people who are my age who have grown up in different circumstances and go, they're not as healthy. 100%. They're not. And they would agree with, I hate looking at you. I hate you. I get that. I get it. But but it's part of it is because I consciously made a decision to go outside lots and lots, trained outside, trained athletes outside.
Right.
But it was conscious because I knew I felt better outside. Right. And so, because I have these little 6 grandchildren that I adore, and I don't want to see them struggle with low IQ or low sperm count as they grow up, but to be as what I consider sort of normal as possible, some of the key things, taking people away from the computers, turning them off, not saying it's okay to watch Dora the Explorer for 8 hours a day,
Right.
People are very tuned out, so.
Not to mention the electromagnetic damage.
Yes.
Exposure to all that stuff, which we'll have to take a whole show. We'll have to get into, but it's
And these things are subtle, but they're so important, because it's like the the lure of turning on the TV because it seems like it calms people down, but it doesn't. It dissociates them.
Right.
So it's like it robs the kids from their natural joy and expression of themselves. And, and yeah, they're a lot of work. You had them.
We're made to be outside in the sun.
We are.
And the people, you know, the dermatologists, I fight with them all the time. They're completely and utterly wrong about sun causing melanoma. It does not. Sunburns cause melanoma, not sun, sunlight. You know, it's the bad burns that you get. It could be because if sun caused melanoma, construction workers would be dropping of it more than office workers. But office workers have a way higher, you know, level of it. And they have it in unexposed spots a lot of times. You know, it's strange from earlier burns that they had when they were young. But yeah, so sun's great for you. It improves your mood. It raises your vitamin D. It lowers your cholesterol, believe it or not. Because the backbone for vitamin D is cholesterol. That's what vitamin D is made from. And so you're soaking up your sun. It's great for you. And it's great. It lowers your blood pressure. It has all great, wonderful effects. It's cheap. It's there. And plus, it just feels great. It's good for your mind to be outside. Listen to the birds. Forget music. Listen to the birds. Feel a breeze on your face. Stay out there in the sun. That's a great feeling. How can you not want to do that?
And there's nothing like that. And, you know, the kids thing, again, I want to amplify this because, and yourself as, you know, like you listeners, if you get outside and you've got children that have been, that you put down for naps, that you put in front of the TV and then you put them down for naps and you put them in front of the TV and you put them down for naps and you go, I wonder why they're so crabby. Cause I have heard this from parents and I go, well, they're crabby because they haven't been outside. And they go, no, I'll take them outside once they start behaving themselves. I'm like, they are not going to be, you take them outside first and then they get all that good energy into them and out of them. And then they can come down and relax. And I point out, you hate being in the house because the first thing you do in the day is you go outside and you leave your kids inside. So you go to have a smoke or you go to have a coffee with your friends, but you leave your kids in, you know? So this whole making sure that kids get outside is really, really important for their development, for their growth, for their health, for their, you know, their long-term.
And whatever you do, don't give them something motorized. Have them pedal. I see these little kids on electric cars. I'm thinking, what are you, stupid? If he's not pedaling now, what the hell? And what is he ever going to condition his heart and be in shape? You're made to run. You're made to swim. You're made to be outside and play, you know, in the fresh air. You're not made to hook up to a machine and travel it, travel with it, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
It drives me crazy when I see that.
And that's good, right? So we can all take note of self. It's like, when have I let mechanics take over from the things that I know perfectly well I can do myself or that I should be doing? Because if you don't use it, you lose it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You can rehab back some things, you know, even if you've got injuries and things like that. Fortunate that I've dealt with lots of really high level athletes, they can be benched for 2 years and still come back and play, you know? You know, if you've got injuries, you're sick and you know that you've got some things that nutritionally you maybe need to get dialed in, there's still hope that you can do that. And to come back and play outside again, really important. Get back on your bikes as soon as you can.
That's why I believe it's like functional / orthomolecular medicine. You know, Linus Pauling was a genius, the only 2-time Nobel Prize winner ever, unshared. Brilliant guy. And I mean, some of the things he came up with a cure for cardiovascular disease that's totally ignored 30 years ago, even had it patented. So, you know, they can't say, oh, this is garbage, you know? What he realized was that, there's only 3 or 4 species in the world that don't make their own vitamin C. Humans, a handful of other primates, guinea pigs, and a fruit bat. Everything else makes their own vitamin C. We've lost the capacity to do that from a genetic mutation. And so he looked at that and he said, okay, that's interesting. But what's even more interesting, those species are the only ones with heart disease. The other species have none. Your dog will never drop dead of a heart attack. You know, your cat, they just don't, because they produce their own vitamin C in their bodies. So what he did was he reversed it because he was a genius. He was able to step outside the box and look at these things. And he said, well, I wonder what's causing it. So all this garbage about cholesterol, I never bought into it. Dr. Keyes, who did the studies in his 50s and 60s, was a scamster. He had 27 countries. He got rid of 21 of them because they didn't, no, 20 of them because they didn't fit. The data didn't fit for his cholesterol theory, his cholesterol and saturated fats causing heart disease. And so, and they would say things like, oh, cholesterol's a culprit. And things like lipoprotein A, they would say, oh, that's the problem. That's causing heart disease. What they didn't realize was that when you have low vitamin C is responsible for making collagen. Mm-hmm. Collagen is the structural protein of the body. 80% of protein in your body is collagen. Without collagen, you're dead. You need it to form blood vessels, the walls for everything, every structure, bones, ligaments. And so what happens is the lining of the blood vessel between the cells is collagen. In the matrix between the cells, there's collagen there holding everything together. And you only find heart disease in near the heart, where the pressure is the highest coming out as the heart pumps into the aorta and the main blood vessels. Eventually, it branches out to other areas, but primarily that's where it is. He said, why is that? Well, the idea is that there's stress there from the high pressure coming out. And if you have enough vitamin C, you produce collagen and you repair the stress. If you don't, your body forms lipoprotein A, and it's using cholesterol as a patch to fix the damaged heart with that. And so he studied and said, what happens if I raise the dose of vitamin C I'm giving to patients? And he gave them lysine and proline, which makes collagen also. And that dropped lipoprotein A to nothing. In the animals with vitamin C, it was undetectable almost. So it was only in humans and people that don't make it. And he was able to reverse severe heart disease, giving just vitamin C, lysine, and proline, and ignoring all the other stuff.
Is there any side effects from those three things?
Absolutely none. Lysine and proline are just amino acids. Amino acids are building blocks of proteins. They have no side effects.
So and when we're talking about the number of people that have heart disease currently, that's from unknown causes of people still dropping dead of myocarditis, or maybe even a increase in that. I haven't looked at the latest stats, but there's certainly lots of people with heart problems. And even if you're doing things as a preventative medicine.
Yeah, right. As we know, the vaccine is causing myocarditis, and the spike protein from the virus and the vaccine is just is like a Velcro spike. It attaches into the capillaries, into the small blood vessels, and it causes inflammation there and then microclotting that progresses to the large, blood vessels and eventually gives you a stroke. There's a huge spike in patients coming in with not only cancers, but strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary emboli in their lungs, blood clots in their legs, all of this stuff. And that comes over and over again. And that's all because of damage to endothelium. So what I've been doing in my practice is giving what's called fibrinolytic enzymes. There's natural enzymes that will break up clots. So I give them that along with vitamin C and various other minerals and stuff. But those are my main ones. And the reason I use those, there's three of them that people use called lumbrokinase. It's made from earthworms, of all things. But it's an old Chinese medicine trick from centuries ago. There's ceratopeptidase, which is what the moths that make silk used to eat their way out of the cocoon. And there's a third one called natokinase, which is made from the Japanese fermented dish, a soybean dish called natto. And all three of those are great. They just target the fiber and the end product of a clot. So they clear out clots. So I've been checking my practice patients who are vaccinated, and I have about a 62% positive rate of elevated, measuring what's called a D-dimer. It's part of a clotting mechanism. And I give them lumbrokinase or natokinase, mostly lumbrokinase is the most potent one, and vitamin C to help heal it.
Beautiful. And so people, again, who've had the shot, I think that sometimes people don't know that they've got something wrong with them also. People are dropping dead with really out any notice. It's not like you're walking around like Sanford and Sons holding your heart going, Wheezy! I don't know where that came from.
I used to love that. I laugh because I always do that to my wife. I go, Wheezy, here I come. She says something I like.
So there's no warning, so there's, it's not like, and even fatigue, some people aren't experiencing the fatigue that you'd think, yet here's these clots that are showing up on all different kinds of testing. So this word to the wise, I guess, you know, if you want to prevent something, and again, it's really hard to think with a clear mind and clear thoughts when your blood isn't pumping properly through your system, because your thinking slows. It affects everything. So problem solving, decision making, even caring about whether or not you live or die. Isn't that weird?
But it's not. I hear the same quote all the time from patients. I've never felt the same after I had that vaccine, you know, or after I had COVID, mostly the vaccine. And you just go, I just don't feel right. Something's wrong. I have brain fog. I'm tired. My ears are ringing. I'm getting muscle cramps. Depressed.
Depressed.
You know, a lot of depression.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You know, lethargy. You know, just listless, laying around, going, I don't feel like doing anything. You know, I'm like, and you test them, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, and you put them on. I had a patient, actually a good friend of mine too, he's an archaeologist here in Connecticut. He had a 45 times elevation of his D dimer. Was like this close to clotting out and stroking out and dying. I put him on the high dose of lumbrokinase. It was miraculous for him. It turned him around for about a week. He called me up and he said, God, I feel good on this. You know, it's
right.
So it's fixable. So all this stuff is fixable.
Yes.
You know, we just have to have the, you know, and you've had Dr. Backus on and a lot of guys who are just, there's a dozen of us on Substack who are just fabulous. Just doing their own independent research from what I call the medical underground, just informal network of people, researchers and physicians who are not accepting the dogma that we're told because it's, you know, it's fallacious. There's nothing, it's based on no truth at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the point of the show, right? Mastering your life is supposed to be based on insight, intelligence, and inspiration to live a better life. And it's pretty hard to have insight if it's, you know, smoke and mirrors from everyone who used to be able to, well, maybe used to be able to trust. I think at least at some level, there was trust in a lot of these systems, and that's been very much eroded or completely blown right up. And, you know, and the families are struggling in all different kinds of ways, you know, so they're struggling with their health, they're struggling with their finances, they're struggling with, you know, safety and security. Before we got on the podcast, you'd said a little prayer that you say every day. I just want to take a minute to share that one because I thought that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I start my day every day in prayer, 5 minutes, you know, just centering myself and thanking God for everything I have because I'm totally blessed. And I always say at the end of it, I say this many times during the day, I say, miracles shall follow miracles and wonders shall never cease. You know, and I believe that. I believe I'm blessed and I believe I'll continue to be blessed. You know, as long as I stay, on a path as best as I can. And, you know, we're human. We all have our problems. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I try. And as long as we're striving, we're heading in the right direction, at least.
That's right. And I encourage people to write that down because, again, it's like if you capture something as a note, it's easier to remember it. And you go, oh, I wish I would have caught that before. I wish I would have written it down before. So just take a moment to go grab a pen and paper, pause the podcast if you need to.
Yeah, I'll say it again.
Say it again.
All right. Miracles shall follow miracle and wonders shall never cease. And if you believe that, you will be blessed. Things will keep coming to you, you know, because it's your mindset. If your mindset is worried and things are going to get bad and, oh my God, things are worse, are going to keep getting worse, they will. You know, you draw that stuff to yourself, you know, and I believe it's all God-based, but, you know, this woman named Pam Grout wrote a great book called Thank and Grow Rich instead of Think and Grow Rich.
Right,
was an old famous book by Napoleon Hill. But it was just a fabulous book. And she gives example after example of people during the day, you know, and some are spiritual, some are, you know, are not, but all with the same mindset and how it just changes things.
Yeah, the daily practice. Yes. So this is the other nutrition. The other thing that you feed is your spirit, you know, throughout the day. So we have the nutrition of the things that we ingest, and then we have the other things that we do to help us to be healthy and to be well. And sometimes the things that people can't see are the things that make the biggest impact on our day-to-day life. Maybe we could talk a little bit. I want to invite everyone who's listening to this on UK Health Radio. Also, thank you, UK Health Radio, for airing the show now for 7 years. Much appreciated, Johan and crew. So we continue to have a voice. In Canada right now, we're experiencing a huge amount of censorship. Bill C-11 has passed. And so it's platforms like UK Health Radio, they're going to be able to continue to share this kind of information to audiences when us in Canada can't even get Canadian news on Facebook or So it's very interesting, these changing times that we're living in. But again, it speaks to having networks that's important, like who's in your network, who do you know that can actually give you good advice around your health and well-being. So really appreciate you being on the show, Dr. LaGuardia, to share your wisdom. And for those of you who are listening to this, make sure that you come over to the website, masteryourlife.ca, so you can watch the video version. And again, so then you have the opportunity to be able to pause and to think about things and write down some of these remedies for yourselves. And also so that you can maybe suggest things to people who are in your life, who you know are struggling with different sorts of maladies. Like if you have a child in your life who's had gut problems and the mom maybe doesn't know that maybe the milk is causing that problem, and that you could say, oh, here's the little snippet that I just heard on today's show. Let's take it away. You know, we have such busy lives.
Right.
That there's so much information coming at us all the time. It's hard to apply any of it. So when we sort of dial it back and go to the basics of what people struggle with, it's just, how do I do this one thing differently?
Right.
And to try to make it, stick or to help my own health. And then how do I take that thing forward? So again, I want to encourage people to pick up your books also, because it's really awesome to have something in your hand that is the thing that you can look at for reference. And I do have your book here. So I know you guys are, if you're tuning in on audio podcast, you won't be able to see it, but I will just show for people who are watching the video version. I have the Bible of Alternative Medicine here in my hand. And this is a really wonderful book. My sister's been using it and loves it. So pick one of these up for your family, because also you can use it as a guide to how you can grow your own food and things that you can grow together and ways that you can actually harvest the things that you're growing, because that's important, right? So it's like, what do you do with it after you grow it? So all of that is in here. So thank you, Dr. LaGuardia, for taking the time to write these wonderful books that we can have in our libraries and that our family and friends can appreciate for generations to come. So let's just take the last few minutes of the podcast just to talk about sort of the gems or the jewels of things that you would like people to take away, maybe about biggest challenges. You said depression.
I think, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, there's an epidemic of loneliness. Mm-hmm. Loneliness is everywhere. I mean, people are just isolated and lonely as hell. And I see it in my practice all the time. Tons of middle-aged men and women just isolated. They have no friends. They just stay at home. And I think we have to get back to that. One of the best things that I ever do is get together with my friends. I mean, nothing is better for my soul and my spirit and my well-being than just belly laughing with my friends for hours on end and just having, I get together with my friends from medical school. We tell the same stories every year, but they're fun.
They're probably funnier, right?
We've been friends for 47 years, a lot of us, but we have a great time. We talk to 2 a.m, we laugh our asses off, we have fun, everyone's happy. And I think we have to get back to that. You have to be in touch. You can't be isolated. You have to get out and meet people. You have to interact with people. Yeah. I mean, all this, I have 4 boys in my practice who are having sex changes. All 4 of them have the exact same scenario. They live in a basement, the parents' basement. They're online constantly. They're socially isolated. They don't work. They have no friends. And everything they get, all their information is from online. And it's just, you could see this. And these are the same people who become the serial killers and all the other things. And there's always these isolated people who have no connection anyone else. So it's easy to go out and kill people if you don't feel connected to anyone, you know, and I think that's an under, which is not recognized as a problem. That is, I think loneliness is huge.
Yes, I agree. Yes, totally agree. Yeah. It's shocking the number of people that are going through this whole accepting the transition piece. There's this really great movie that's coming out right now. It just started playing last week on July 4th, called Sound of Freedom. I think it's called Sound of Freedom. So it's Tim Ballard and talking about the child trafficking. And the reason it links is because the psychology is the same. This loneliness, isolation, making decisions that aren't good You know, they're not good. And so these little micro decisions that we have along the way that lead us down the path of the darker, darker, darker. And then we're not supposed to say anything about it. You know, we're not supposed to, you know, say, hey, that's not right. You should be a dude and be a dude. Keep your junk. Keep all your stuff. Right. Go date some girls. Go.
Right. Get out. Have some fun. What the hell are you doing? They don't even have driver's licenses, half of them. They're so passive. I can't believe it. But if you have a lot of friends, you know, and it's happened to everyone as we grew up, you know, you bounce something off your friends and they'll say, what are you, an idiot? it'll help center you. And you think, you know, he's right about that. What was I thinking? You know, and they're lacking that.
Yes.
And I think, you know, they're lacking it from the community, they're lacking it from their family, and they're lacking it from their friends, and they're lacking it from lovers. They don't have any of those things.
Right. Yes. No, they don't.
How shallow is your life if you don't have friends, families, lovers, you know, everything? It's terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah. And there's lots of factors that have gone into making people isolated. And we can go on a 3-hour show about that too. But we've got to actually draw this episode to a close. So I'd like to pick up and talk about it again, though, Dr. The Guardian, because I think there are some good strategies that people can use. But first of all, the invitation to not meet online, you know, meet in person.
Right.
I think that's, you know, in the flesh is really important. So,
right.
Yeah, stay courageous for another week, guys. We'll have Dr. The Guardia on again to talk about all things good for the soul, nutrition and lifestyle strategies. So thank you again, Dr. The Guardia, for being wonderful guest.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
Awesome. All right, everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.